quack, 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 quack,
hello everyone and welcome back to D5 The Mighty Ducks, the show where we look back at the 1994 Disney hockey sequel, D2 The Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host Blake, and I have a rare in-studio guest for this week's show, and it is my beautiful wife, Mandy. Mandy, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing alright. You purposely requested these minutes before the first movie of this show, which is amazing to me. But before we get to that, what's your history with D2?
I think like every other child born in the 80s, I grew up on the Mighty Ducks series. And I think D2 might be my favorite of the Mighty Ducks movies.
Okay. Awesome. Why would you say that, though? I have curiosity. I know my reasoning. What's your reasoning?
I don't know. I think it had a little bit of literally everything.
I
think it had the comedy, it had a little bit of drama, it had a little romance, which we'll discuss, and I think this scene just, it epitomized for me what being a teenager was, and I really thought that my teenage years were going to be more like this, and I'm sorely disappointed that they weren't.
Let's get into that right now. Well, Charlie, as we left this in our last episode, is out hunting for the ducks. And that's where we start off. We stop with Jesse, who apparently no longer has a brother. He's playing, and we have our duck call. And this is really the most normal thing that happens in these 5 minutes.
pretty much.
So, by the way, so I want to thank, there's a website. If they write it down, I'll plug it when I get to the end here. I found a website that actually was going through this entire run-through of how long they're actually on their blades in the state of Minnesota. And it is an absolute ridiculous number when you get to the end, because it's so unrealistic when you get to the ending. Because we're literally jumping between cities and counties. It makes no sense. But before we do that, we start our trip at Emerson Elementary School, which I was like, what is this school? And apparently, it's not a very good school because it's only got a 2-star rating on greatschools.org. In comparison, the school our son goes to has a 5-star rating on that very website.
Ooh, very
5 out of 5. So
very nice.
Yeah, so just out of pure comparison. So we start, we actually are in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And now that we've actually been there in Minnesota, we now will understand why this is such a ridiculous thing to do, because driving here is a big deal, let alone being on blades. This is by Loring Park. Our next stop is, of course, the Mall of America.
Yes.
Which,
this is the part of I really wanted my teenage years to be more like.
Well, let's talk about the Mall of America, first things first. It opened in 1992, so really it was only 2 years before this movie started. So it's actually really fresh, which is crazy.
And I think at this point, the Mall of America was still, like, this amazing place that was kind of, it was kind of just incredible to think about.
Yes. And, by the way, it was anchored by Nordstrom, Macy's, Bloomingdale's, and Sears.
Wow.
When it first opened in 1992. For those who've never been there, it's ridiculously huge. Like, we went on vacation. We did a vacation trip there. It's huge.
It's huge, and it's got multiple of the same store.
Which is weird. Which is really strange. But it has a ridiculously big Lego store.
Yes.
And a full-out theme park.
Yes.
Which, wow. The Nickelodeon theme park is crazy.
The Shredder ride, 0 out of 0 stars. Do not recommend.
But did you know that the Mall of America was actually in the former location of the Metropolitan Stadium where the Vikings and Twins played?
Oh.
In 1992.
No, I did not know that.
I didn't know that either until I was looking at research for this. So that's interesting. And also, this was the first credit movie for this.
Oh, wow.
This was really cool. But other important notes, this obviously was the location of the first episode of Nitro.
Yes, it was. And I remember that. It was absolutely insane.
So that was important for our other world, our wrestling world. But also, this was
That just proves that I'm a lifer and you're a newbie.
You go back to the first Nitro. Nitro.
Yes, yes.
You know, there was a lot of people joking around that AEW had their first show there.
I think that would have been fitting.
But anyway, also this Jingle All the Way took place here.
Yes!
And then there's two movies I wrote down because the titles cracked me up. 1997, You're Invited to Mary Kate and Ashley's Mall Party. Never heard of it. I thought it was funny.
Why does that exist?
I don't know. And the other one, Mall Cops, Mall of America. 2010. Never heard of it. It just cracked me up the title.
And unrelated to like... Paul Blart.
I don't think it's the same thing.
Because I feel like if it would have been the Paul Blart franchise, I think that would have actually been pretty decent.
Yeah, but it's completely different. I looked it up, like, I never heard of this movie, and no. That's actually what I was thinking, too.
Okay.
I was thinking the exact same thing you were. That's why I clicked on it. So anyway, we jump back. Averman is working at the General Cinema, which, by the way, is still in existence.
Wow.
At the Mall of America now, but it's renamed.
And shockingly, Averman is still working there.
Friend of the show, by the way. It's actually now the CMX Market Cinema Experience. So there you go. And as of this recording, Practical Jokers is there. By the way, the movie is there.
Please go see it.
Yes. If you.
Hashtag break the box office.
We're totally dating when we're recording this, and I really don't care. It's just worth it. So Averman, though, it's so fitting that Averman works at a movie theater. It's just hysterical to see him in the outfit.
Yes.
In the old school outfit. Oh, my God. It's funny. It's just really funny to me. So, to note, we are literally just went from Minnesota to Bloomington.
Oh, Minneapolis to Bloomington.
So, then we jump over to outside the Mississippi River. By the way, I do love the scene where they're going through and they're passing. Well, this is the scene you commented on when we were watching it the last time. Jumping over and grabbing the guy's hat.
Yes. I feel...
Good.
Like, he's just like, it's windy, and he doesn't understand why.
These kids are flying behind him. There's no reason at all. No logic behind
it. He's completely oblivious. It's fantastic.
And the funny part, I wanted to see if it was like a cameo of like someone that was like behind the scenes. I couldn't find anything on this guy. I really was hoping like it was like a cameo of like a producer or something like that. Cause
no, it was a cameo of some guy who was sitting on a bench and got his hat taken off.
Just randomly?
Yeah.
He didn't get paid because he didn't say a line.
Exactly.
So, so then we cut to the St. Anthony Falls, which is over by the Mississippi River, which is nowhere near the Mall of America. So, and we cut to, I remember we were watching this randomly on Stars. Randomly. And I was like, I'm just pausing, watch a minute, that you're going to be on for the show. And you totally jumped to the part with Guy and Connie sitting over by the water. And go ahead, take it, honey.
They still haven't kissed. It has been how long?
At least a year.
All I can say is, and I'm kind of giving away something that either has happened or will happen.
Will happen. Right. It's okay.
But Charlie's mom got married. she had time.
Oh, that happened already. We did that already. Yeah, we're good.
She had time to break up with Gordon, find someone else, get engaged, and get married. And these two schmucks still haven't kissed.
Even if you go with the fact that that's at least a year, because we were together a year before we get married. So we go with the minimum, a year. That's still a year. It's still a long time.
And that's being very generous, because she still had to break up with someone and get over the relationship. But they still haven't kissed? Like, come on.
It's hard to believe. It really is. Because they were heavily flirty in the first movie. Like, they're flirty.
They're heavily flirty and they're teenagers, so they're obviously in heat.
Mm-hmm.
So, really? I thought that line was going to get something more.
Well, it's actually, I was actually trying to figure out how old they are in this movie. How old are they supposed to be in this movie? Because if we're going by the logic that they were like little kids in the first movie.
Okay, but we also have to remember that Averman has a job.
True. But also, in the third movie, they start high school. So.
But the thing is how does he have a job then? You have to be at least 14, if not 15 or 16, to get a job.
I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense.
If you're basing it on the fact that if Averman has to be fine, at the very minimum, 14 to have a job.
Right.
Then these two are in four. These two 13, are 14.
14. Okay. There you go. Just trying to follow along with your logic. That's all.
Yeah. So, i.e., ergo, they're in heat.
So, like, 8th grade. We're thinking, like, 8th grade. That makes sense. There you go. That math is just making sense now. That makes
sense. Now, if they are old enough to be alone by a river.
By a ridiculous, like.
By themselves.
I love this. This is such a beautiful set, by the way. It's a beautiful setup.
But if they are alone enough without supervision to be by a waterfall or by.
The Mississippi River, apparently.
Then, seriously, dude, what is he doing with his life if he can't just kiss the girl?
I don't
Sebastian
get
had it.
It don't take a word, not a single word. Go on and kiss the girl.
I don't get it. I don't get it. So, we get this far, and the duck call is what interrupts the kiss here. Hysterical moment. Like a lie.
Would you call that a quack block?
Quack block. There you go. I think you just got a title of our episode. Thank you. I think you just titled the episode. Very nice.
And a thank you.
This is actually where we get the line, the quack attack is back.
Jack.
That was in every single freaking trailer.
You forgot the Jack.
Sorry, you say,
it's the quack attack is Jack, bat. Ah! The quack attack is back, Jack. See, I was so excited about that Jack that I was just going to get it in early. That's what she said.
She said. But that line I remember being in every commercial.
Oh my god.
Every trailer, Disney Channel, movie theaters, like it was everywhere.
Also, thank you, Averman.
Averman for one of the most well known lines in this entire franchise. So we continue on with our journey. I love that he was this close.
How he was this close. Like, dude, really?
Then we get to now they're just practicing. Now they're literally just like doing warm ups.
Yeah, and leaping over construction stuff.
Knocking people over, causing damage, like causing people money.
Yeah. Like, well, no, that was just that guy being an idiot and pouring concrete on someone else.
True.
They weren't responsible for his idiocracy.
No, so by the way, we're on the Merman Street Bridge to, I can't even pronounce this right. Nicollet Island, which is now we're in back in Minneapolis. We're back in Minneapolis.
And if we're going by, we have something in Wisconsin called Nicollet High School, so it might be Nicollet.
Perfect. Now we're at Goldberg Contestant, which I love the fact that his parents own this. I think it's amazing.
It is the most Goldberg thing ever.
It's obviously not a real place, but I do love the fact that they have a picture of him by the register. I think that's so cute.
I think that's adorable, and do you know what that reminds me of?
Go ahead.
What was I going to say?
Okay, tell.
No, what am I going to say?
I'm not 100% sure, so go ahead. What's your reference?
Johnny Gargano.
Oh, yes! Johnny Gargano from the NXT thing. He showed his dad at the pizza place.
His dad owns a pizzeria, and he's got all these pictures of Johnny and Candace, and they're all autographed, and he's just such a proud dad, and that's what reminded me
of perfect.
That.
It's absolutely perfect for Goldberg's family, that they would be so proud of him.
Exactly.
And they have a little trophy right next to it. It's so perfect.
Yeah, it's adorable.
It's how I would picture Goldberg's family would be.
Oh, for sure.
So. But, of course, Goldberg's working at the family business.
Of course.
And they get his attention. I also like the detail that he is still from Philly because he's still wearing Flyer stuff. I like the detail because that was a big, like, big point in the first movie. So, very cool to have that detail. But I would love to know, though, when they're pressing... How much is this improv? Like, they're pressing up against the glass as being goofballs.
I honestly feel like that is something that our child would do, and then we would get an email about how he was having a rough day for doing that.
Back to just being a kid, right?
Exactly.
So, at this point, now we're on the Hayfield Avenue Bridge heading into Irvine Park, which is now in St. Paul, Minnesota. A whole other city. Which, you know, we always joke that WrestleMania comes to New Jersey and they say New York. Anytime they go to St. Paul, Minnesota, people hate it because they say they're Minneapolis even though they're in St. Paul. It's the exact same thing in Minnesota.
Well, that's like whenever like people are in Waukesha or whatnot, they say they're in Milwaukee, and they're not.
I know that's at the MLW does when they come to Waukesha, they say they're in Milwaukee, and I think I had Rich Moschini on the podcast talking about this, and I kept correcting him. He's like, "Well, we keep saying Milwaukee because people know Milwaukee." I'm like, "Yeah, but they're in Waukesha."
And honestly, guys, it's not close. We're talking like a half hour.
At least a half hour, maybe 40 minutes of traffic.
Yeah. Yeah, like,
that's not exactly around the corner.
Exactly.
So, the fun part for me with Waukesha, I love telling this story because it makes me laugh, was hearing wrestling hosts of other cities trying to pronounce Waukesha on their podcasts.
Okay, but let's be
honest.
Which
is so funny to me.
Had you not lived here,
I would have the same problem. Exactly, I would have the exact same problem. But it's just funny to me. It's just really funny to me. That's all. I enjoyed it for what it was. Because now I know how to pronounce them. It's like when Economowoc became canon in Marvel. It's the same mentality, really. Anyway, so we're back. Now we're in St. Paul. And we're just skating. Now we're just watching kids skate. That's all we're doing here.
Here we go.
We're going now. Now we're in St. Paul. I'm sorry. Now we're in St. Paul at Irvine Park. Which, by the way, I want to visit this park. It's a really nice park.
It is. It's a beautiful park.
So then we visit Banks.
Adam Banks, who's playing hockey by himself.
What a little lonely boy. But it's perfect for him, though. Like, he would always be practicing. Like,
and it would also be fitting that he's wearing all of the correct gear except for a helmet.
Yes.
Like, it's just...
He's by himself, though. He's by himself, so he's not going to get hit.
It makes sense that Cake Boy would be wearing proper gear.
It's true. And he also has the... he's been working on this shot where he banks it off the goaltender's pads.
Yep.
That may or may not come back later.
Spoiler alert.
I'm going to spoil everything after this thing. This is actually the exact same goal he actually scores in the shootout at the end of the game. Exact same goal. I didn't realize it until I was watching it back at the end of the movie. It's literally the exact same goal. We set it up in the first scene with Banks, which is crazy.
That is.
Whoever planned that was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So they grab Banks because you need Banks. He's your best player, so you got to need Banks.
Definitely.
We now end up at we go to the Lake of the Isles, which is back in Minneapolis. So now we're jumping to another city. So this is our last. Oh, here we are. I got the website. It's the Battle of Cali.com. And this entire truck that we just watched was over 43 miles by blade. Which is insane.
Sure.
The joke on the website is that the wonder they have the most cardio in the entire tournament because they did a 43-mile trek on blades.
Yeah, and acted like it was absolutely nothing.
Not including going through the entire Mall of America.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's crazy to me. And now they're just talking about how they're going international, it's them against the world, and then Goldberg. Okay, this is a missed opportunity.
Okay, so Goldberg rolls down the hill. And he lands in someone's picnic. And one would assume that a kid who works at a delicatessen would take a sandwich and take a bite. I feel like this was such a missed opportunity.
And once you said that to me when we were watching this, I 100% agree with you. Because I think they did that joke in the third movie. I think they did that exact joke in the third movie.
But I feel like it was such a missed opportunity. Like, you would take the guy's hat.
The perfect joke.
Like, you take the guy's hat in the mall, but you don't take a sandwich. Like, yeah, come on.
Goldberg, perfect for Goldberg.
It would be it's perfect for Goldberg.
Yeah, it's a total missed opportunity. You're absolutely right. 100%. So, now we meet our Hawks from the first movie, and they're still aggravated. So, not a whole lot. So, that goes back to your logic of how much time has gone by since the first movie.
So, again, like, if his mom can go through an entire new relationship into marriage, why are they still butthurt? Like, get over it.
I know. Like, if it's a few months later... That's fine, I understand it completely, but it's been over a year. Is it at least a year? Like, what is going on here? They probably won another championship since then.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest here. Or less, and less. The only thing I can think of. If you remember, at the end of the first movie, Coach Riley did say that he was not going to make sure everyone never came back on the next year's team. Maybe he actually kept his word and he's got a brand new team, and there's to piss at them for that.
Maybe.
That's the only thing I can think of. Now that I'm thinking about it.
But still, get over it. Go join another team. Be a dog. duck.
Be a duck. Yeah, you're right. So the ultimate, now this is a great gag if you actually pulled it off, or they moved the wire. It's actually a really good gag if they pulled it off.
Yes, if they would have pulled it off, it would have been great.
So the invisible wire drag, because no one sees it coming, it actually is pretty smart. It's the exact same thing they did in The Replacements.
Yes, it is.
I just thought about that as we're sitting here. Like, what was the movie I've seen this in? It was The Replacements when they did that to them in there. So watch that movie. I'll be doing that movie eventually. So we move on, and I do love the fact that they're just still being assholes from the first movie.
They're just assholes,
and they're talking. They're sitting ducks. They're making bad duck puns, and then another deep voice shows up behind them.
And again, he quack blocked them.
Yes, there you go. Back to that earlier. Very nice.
Exactly.
Very nice. You done. Ties it all together. Very nice. And I love the fact that Fulton shows up like a hero shot. He's just standing there with his arm crossed.
Yeah.
Standing there.
And at first, they were like, wait.
Deep voice.
Like, who?
Oh, man. And by the way, this is the only time he really has the deep voice in this entire movie. Like, were they trying to show off that he's grown up and now his voice is a lot deeper, but he didn't keep it normal the rest of the movie?
Yeah.
I noticed that later. His voice is completely normal the rest of this movie.
Bet he would have kissed Connie.
Yeah, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. So a lot of things go on here. He pulls them all. He strips them from their clothes. He ties them up with the string. This is a lot of time. How far away were the ducks?
Like, I know. And like, so how far? Like, how far did they see them coming?
I know. Because now they're like, their pants are around, their ankles are tied to this thing.
Yeah, and how did he do that by himself? Are they, like, if they,
it's impressive.
If they can't escape him, then they honestly don't belong to be, or they don't deserve to be on a team.
I agree. I actually do 100% agree. Yeah, they lost their mojo completely since they lost that to Hawks.
And their pants.
Yeah, their pants. Yeah, I do want to note that I think it's funny that we're in a Disney movie and we have three teenagers standing in their underwear, just tied to a tree. It's so ridiculous.
I probably watched a porn that started that same way. Honestly, just with adults.
Thank you for filling that. Not children.
Let me just rephrase that.
Please do. Please explain that one. By the way, this is the actual Lake of the Isles, which is a beautiful lake.
It is.
It's gorgeous.
So, isn't Minnesota like the land of 10,000 lakes?
Yes. It's exactly right. Yeah, exactly, you're absolutely right. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
So we're going to pause on the bandbox diner, which you were commenting on the irony.
Oh, the irony that Gordon is meeting the team in front of his ex-girlfriend's place of work.
That's so weird.
And my last thing that I will have noticed is all of the kids are in t-shirts and shorts because it's summer break.
Of course.
And yet Gordon is wearing a heavy bomber jacket.
Well, he had to wear his duck jacket from the first movie. That's pretty much the only reason he's wearing it. There's no other reason.
Like, aren't you ungodly hot?
Ay, ay, ay. So I did a little research on this place, by the way, because this is a real location.
Oh.
The Bandbox Diner is a real location. It still exists to this day. So, but it had an interesting history that I had no clue about, so I did a little bit of research. Apparently, this place opened in 1939.
Wow.
It only seats 13 people on the inside. For real. Wow. In the real world. Apparently, in the 40s, it expanded to 15 locations throughout Minneapolis.
Oh, cool.
And one in Columbia Heights. But then, the owner sold them all, and by 1972, the only one left was the one in this movie.
Wow.
This is the only one standing. Still open from 1939.
Wow, that's crazy.
And it's a legit place you can go in there and eat right now. It's right by Elliott Park on 10th Street in Minneapolis right now.
But only you and 12 other people.
Yeah, you and 12 other people. It's a very small party of people.
So the reason why this was not filmed in the diner is because it would not hold the ducks.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Dad and Gordon wouldn't want to see his ex-girlfriend.
No, which I will have to follow up in D3. If she is still working here in D3. Because she's not in this movie. So I'm going to have to find out in D3 if she's still working here.
And also, on a side note, it's insane to see that the relationship between Gordon and Charlie hasn't really been affected.
Despite
her.
Well, apparently, apparently Charlie and the new guy are not close. And he misses Gordon a lot. That's
which
what it
is. Funny because she made this whole big stink about Gordon not hurting Charlie, and at the end of the day, Gordon is the one that's there for Charlie.
It's weird, isn't it? It's weird how that works.
Yeah.
It's really strange how that works. So
she quack blocked him.
There you go. You really pushed that title.
I really
Keep
am.
Keep pushing it.
I really am.
And the editing was like, oh yeah, there's the title. So, and then we have our quack, which is fun. Just because they're here. They're together. It's their first time everyone together. Before, of course, our limo shows up, which is a nice callback to the first movie. It's a fantastic callback, really, to the first movie. And, of course, we have this situation with Tibbles, which we're not going to... I've talked enough about Tibbles earlier in the day. I mean, any thoughts on Tibbles as a person? Because I talked a lot about him in the last couple episodes.
He's so obnoxious. That's all I got.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I talk about him a lot in the first couple episodes, and I know we brought him up a lot for the rest of this season. So, that is our minutes. Anything else you want to bring up having to do with this movie? Anything else having to do with this movie at all?
I think this movie, for me, like many other girls my age, gave me a whole new appreciation for Josh Jackson.
This movie did?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, he's more pacey as this movie continues. It's actually really weird how that works.
Yes.
But oddly enough, Dawson Creek does not start till after D3. So, like, D3 is the last movie before Dawson's Creek. So, it's strange how that worked out. So, well, if that's all we got, let's wrap things up.
Okay.
We'll get out of here. Next week, I'm going to continue on, and I have Kurt Hoffman, old friend, old wrestling friend coming on. He really, really wanted to be on this show, so I made sure of it. So, he's on next week's show as we continue on through things. Mandy, I know you're not a big fan of actually plugging things on my shows, but where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Mama Manda Bear. You can also check out Manda Bands, Wear the Swimsuit, and Milwaukee Mom.
There you go. Hey, you're right on Milwaukee Mom. That's a big deal. And
I'm the community coordinator.
Yes, it's a very big deal. You are a big deal.
I'm and really not.
You are. To me, you are.
Oh, well, thank you.
No, you're also a cover girl, which is my favorite thing to say. That thing.
Oh, and don't forget TV star.
Yeah, and TV star. So, yes, that's... since our last season, she's kind of grown and is now a jack of all trades over here. So, and mine just got beautiful, and a lot more beautiful in the last year. So that even went better.
Aww.
So, on that wonderful note, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to the show. You can find us on all social media platforms at D5 The Mighty Ducks, on all podcast platforms. Leave a rating review. Let people know we're here. We're having some fun. We're going to have a lot of fun this season.
Don't quack block them.
Yes, please don't quack block us. Thank you so much. Thank you, honey, for that. Again, thank you so much, honey, for coming on the show.
Thank you, honey, for having me.
No problem. Anytime. For next season, try to get you on next year?
Sure thing.
Yeah, we'll figure out a place for you to come in. I don't think there's a mall scene in the next movie, so we'll figure
Damn.
It out. We'll figure it out.
All right.
So, but anyway, as for now, we'll see you all next week. Thank you all for listening. Have a good day, everybody.
When everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.